First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you decided to join us and hope you enjoyed this week's message.
Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, one of my favorites. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Through advancements in industry and advancements in technology, we live in a world that provides us with more free time than ever before. Well, a few hundred years ago, our great-great-great-great-great-grandparents spent considerably more time putting food on the table and keeping their house warm during a cold winter night. We need not worry as much about these things because we have grocery stores and thermostats. But with all this free time we have become ever more busy. We fill this time with activities and hobbies. Sin can be a major distraction from running the race laid out for us. But as the Hebrew writer reminds us, we need to throw off not just the sinful things, but everything that hinders us from running the race. It could be a hobby. It could be following a sports team. It even could be your job that hinders us. If it has filled our extra time and squeezed out where we should be running, this time around the table is the place to start. Confessing that we have fallen behind in our race and committing to getting our running shoes back on is what this time is all about. As we take these emblems, let us remember the sacrifice that was made for us so that we will not grow weary and we will not lose heart and we can cast away what easily entangles us. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we do have this time set aside each week, the time that you told us to have, the time that you invite us around this table to remember the sacrifice that was made for us. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have these emblems and that we can take them and we can take the bread and we can remember your broken body. And we can take the juice and remember the new covenant in your blood. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with each person here as they do take these emblems this morning. And we ask for your blessing on the rest of the service. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Long time no see. Good morning again. If you grab the bulletin this morning, if you'd take a quick look at it, that would be wonderful to keep you up to date with what's going on. My biggest thing that I'm going to, you know, draw your attention to is I need lots of volunteers for VBS. So if you can't, I understand. But that doesn't mean you can't voluntold your neighbor, okay? Just tell your neighbor, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, Ryan needs you for VBS this year, and I told him you would help. So that should work fine, right? There will be no problems. It's going good. Things are really going good in that department. We got all of the adult VBS t-shirts in. You can't have a proper VBS without t-shirts to go with it. So this year we even got kids t-shirts for VBS, which is really cool. We'll be looking forward to pre-registering kids at the street fair later this month. I think the last week of this month before Memorial Day weekend. And if we pre-register them, maybe we can give them their shirts then and they can, you know, wear VBS swag throughout the next month or two until VBS shows up. That'd be cool. Gentlemen, dads, husbands, sons, don't forget, next Sunday's Mother's Day. Okay, got it. That's all the important things I had to announce. We're good. My mom was wonderful. I'm pretty sure all you mothers out there are wonderful too. Let's go ahead and go to God in silent prayer before we start this morning. Amen. Well, welcome back to all of you that have been here for the first of the three parts of this Holy Spirit series. We're on the last three parts now. Bob took care of the first three sections. I'll take care of the last three. He took the hard part. I get the easy part. Yep, it's not bad. Before we get into that, though, there's some other information you need to know before we get started. I make it a point to, you know, fill everybody's minds with good information they get to take with them to their workplace, to their family, to their friends, to their neighbors, and I always start out every sermon by giving some of that good information to them. So, let's go ahead and start with that. Did you know that the term cowboy is used because Chuck Norris is the only one qualified to be a cowman? Yep. If you ever work in an office with Chuck Norris, never ask him for the three-hole punch, okay? Never. That would be bad. Did you also know that dynamite was invented by Chuck Norris so he could cure his heartburn? Yep. Don't forget those things, all right? Now we can start with the good stuff. The fruit of the Spirit has 9 different items that it describes in Galatians 5, 22, and 23. This week, being the first of the three weeks, I've just taken the first three, love, joy, and peace. And we're going to discuss those today, this morning, with our time here together. Let's read it together. Well, I'll read it to you. You can listen in. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That's pretty cool. When I was growing up, anytime somebody said fruit, my mind immediately went to a tree where you would get apples or pears or something. My viewpoint on that has changed now as an adult, and I'm going to share that with you today. So our points today, we're going to talk about love. And that love was personified by a person, our role model, and we're going to share that together today. We're going to go over joy. Yes, yes indeedy, we have joy. And peace, not only today, but peace for all of our yesterdays, peace for tomorrow, and every tomorrow after that. That's what I want to kind of drive home when you're here with me this morning. So that tree, the fruit of the Spirit, I always thought you could pick off, you know, one of those items. You're like, well, I'm really feeling like I have joy today. So you just pull the joy off of the tree. Or, it was a good day of being patient. So you take patience off of that tree. Or, you know, really feeling the love. And so you take love off of that tree. I assumed that it was the fruits of the Spirit, plural, that you could pick any one of those things and use them at different times. But as I got older and I started to read scriptures a little bit more carefully, you look at that passage and it says fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. So one item. All of these things are part of having the Holy Spirit in our lives, and I think they work together. I think in order for you to be loving, you have to have goodness. In order for you to be faithful, you have to be patient. They all work together. So I've kind of readjusted my viewpoint, and I've come up with this idea that the fruit of the Spirit is like the volume controls or the slides on a soundboard that we have back in the back. That we start out at a certain point with this fruit of the Spirit. And as we grow older, we get to take those volume slides and we get to slide them on up. As a kid, It seemed like to me all the volume controls that we had went from 0 to 10. 10 being loud enough to shake your neighbor's house off its foundation if you had a nice stereo system at home. I remember my parents' stereo system. As a kid, that was one of my favorite things to use when they would leave me to go grocery shopping, and I would be home by myself for a little bit. Like, all right, let's see how loud this thing can go. Mom and Dad would listen to music, you know, kind of softly in the background as they're, you know, dusting and sweeping, or I was dusting and sweeping because it was a family, you know, family thing to clean the house. I hope it is for you guys too. But it was always just a little too quiet for me. I'm like, man, that I bet you that system can really crank. So when they would go grocery shopping or go somewhere for a little bit, I had control, I had power over the stereo, and I cranked that baby up, and it was wonderful. Thankfully, neighbors were not close at hand. If they would have been, I would have been having quite a few angry knocks on the door to quiet my music down, or Brian and his sheriff's cruiser showing up for a noise disturbance. But that's what I think of now as the fruit of the Holy Spirit's in our lives. I look at it as a way to take those results, the end result of having the Spirit, and make them stronger, make them more available in life to see, to be visible. For those of us that have seen crazy movies in our lives, you may have seen this farcical movie called Spinal Tap, and these guys were ridiculous, but they thought, wouldn't it be so much better if you could take that 0 to 10 knob and just crank it up a little bit more to 11? Wouldn't that be great? I did not blow out my eardrums when I was a kid growing up in Mom and Dad's house. I could usually take that system up to 4 or 5, and that was loud enough for me. I couldn't imagine if I ever would have taken that thing to 10. I would be deaf, or my ears would have bled or something. It would have been bad. But Spinal Tap was really funny because they thought you could just go a little bit louder by cranking it up to 11. I thought, that's funny. That's good. But they didn't know it, but I do, that there's also another level higher than 11. And that's the level that Chuck Norris listens to. Yeah. Snuck that one in there on you. But even past that, there's another level that's higher than that. And that level of performance is Jesus Christ himself. It doesn't get better than that. His example was strong enough to turn the world on its head. He has set the standard. He has pushed the fruit of the Spirit up as much as you can get it in every respect, and has set the standard for us to follow. That's the level we want to strive for. I know it's unattainable, but that's the goal nonetheless. The cool thing is that level will be realized in eternity. And for now, do we just ignore it? No. We take our own volume sliders, our own soundboard sliders in our own life with the fruit of the Spirit, and we work on increasing those levels gradually, day by day, following in the footsteps of Jesus. As he set the example for us, we follow him. And as a result, the fruit of the Spirit shows up in our life. So as we live in this temporary physical world, I want us to kind of do what Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 says. Speak the truth in love. We're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, that's us, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So here we have the first fruit of the Holy Spirit mentioned, love. I really find it appropriate that that's the first fruit mentioned right out of the gate. When we're operating in love, everything else falls in line. So I love starting there because everything else has its proper focus as we continue the next couple weeks. in the lens of love, through the lens of love. Grow up. I can't believe it said that. Grow up. That's not a very nice term people say to each other. Would you grow up? Not, that's not nice. But here we're challenged to grow up. Like learn new things. Or become mature. I think 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, kind of gives us an idea of how we grow up. Let's take a look at that. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. I think Peter's faith is pretty strong. He's still setting an example for us 2,000 years later. And he's saying his faith is the same as our faith. By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Promises like eternal life. Promises of forgiveness of our sins. Promises of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. In your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is some really good stuff in there. When we go back to supply moral excellence, where do we get our morals? We get our morals from the Word of God. How do we supply moral excellence? We get into the Word. We let the Word work in our minds, work in our actions, and that moral excellence reveals itself in our day-to-day actions as we supply it in our minds. That's our first step. How do we get the fruit of the Spirit? How do we get love, joy, and peace? We supply moral excellence. We get into the Word, we read it, we learn it, we talk about it. When we come up with a different passage, when we come up to a difficult passage that makes us question, what does this mean? We ask somebody, or three or four people, and we say, I could use some help here. I do that to Bob all the time. It's great. He's nice. He's a nice next door neighbor to have. At the very start, we supply moral excellence. All those things follow suit through that until the end game of love. And then later on in the verses, it says, if these qualities are yours and they're increasing. We're taking that fruit of the Spirit and pushing those slides up in our life. And we're working on showing more love, more peace, more joy. And I'll tell you about the other ones in the next 2 weeks. What's really cool about to me is I'm not saying that we're doing this ourselves of our own power. I'm actually saying the opposite. God gives us every breath that we take. Every blessing that we have in our life comes directly from God. All the money that we have to work with, the family that we're a part of, that came directly from God. What we do is put our faith and our actions in line with what God wants us to do, and he is the one that produces the fruit in our lives. So we're not pushing those slides up to get more love, peace, and joy. We're pushing the actions in line with what Jesus has set before us, and as a result, that fruit will show itself and manifest itself in our lives. I like that verse because it gives us a starting point, supplying moral excellence. That's a great starting point for us to get into the Word and to let it transform our lives, just like God intended it to do. Maybe, you know, because Christ is the standard, maybe when we compare ourselves to Christ, which is appropriate, since we don't want to compare ourselves to our neighbors or anyone else, we realize, you know, maybe at this time in our life, we're not really up there on the scale of the fruit of the Spirit. We're like between a zero and a one. You know, you can almost see it in our life. Maybe that's because we've been fighting through some tough struggles, or our lives are not that great right now. That's okay. That's okay to be there. We can grow from there. Maybe we're in the middle. Maybe we're kind of moving forward and we got the cruise control set. You know, we're hanging out at a 3 to 4 or something like that, and we're just cruising. Maybe a few of us, or maybe even more than a few of us, are hanging out in the Chuck Norris area, somewhere above 11. You know, we're really on fire right now. Regardless of where we think we are, we can work on sliding those levels of the fruit of the Spirit as high as we can get them in this life with God's guidance and His help as we develop our actions and our motivations in step with Jesus's example that He left for us to follow. I don't know very many folks who are happy without some real love and joy and peace in their lives. We've seen those people. They're not very nice people to be around, you know. And you want them to see love. You want them to see peace and joy that they can have, and they don't have it right now. Hopefully, in time, God would open up doors to allow us to show them that, you know, life is a lot better when you have love in it. It's a lot better when there's peace to have and when you can have joy in tough situations. That love, joy, and peace tends to be universal. You guys are all familiar with Christmas time and how we always say peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and how during Christmas we want that feeling to last all year long. In the Spirit, that should last all year long. That's why I love Christmas, because everybody starts acting like who they were designed to be, you know. Besides the stress of, you know, shopping and Christmas presents and stuff, they're generally, that's a good time of the year. And I like seeing them shine. I like seeing their joy, and it matches mine. And I am just like, man, if you would just hold on to that the other 11 months of the year, we would have a pretty good world to live in. So Christ, He's put His Spirit in us that we might lay aside our old habits and start new ones, leading to the production of qualities that reflect the Spirit that God has made to dwell in us, so that we will produce the godly fruit we desire. I do desire love, joy, and peace in my life. I believe you guys do as well. It doesn't just appear. It's not immediately produced the second we come up out of the waters of baptism. It's a lifelong process that starts at immersion and continues with our mindsets to faithfully trust God to lead us where He needs us every day for the rest of our lives. Right now, today, peace on earth reigns. Just like Scripture said in Luke 2:14 at the birth of Jesus. Doesn't look like it, but it's true, and let me explain it. Jesus' love for us that led Him to the cross and through the agony it caused has brought peace on earth between all those who run to Him in repentance and obedience and our God who requires the death penalty for all the sins committed by the world, us, and our disobedience. That's where the peace is. Peace on earth is between us and God. Peace between us and man, good luck. I'd like to see it happen. It'd be a wonderful thing. We're pretty stubborn at times. Doesn't allow that to happen. But between us and God, there's peace. And Jesus opened that up for us. Because without His perfect sacrifice, we would still be separated from God. Our sins would still be getting in the way, and we would be if we weren't part of the Levitical tribe, we'd be one step farther away from having a relationship with God. If we weren't part of the Jewish nation, we'd be two steps farther. You know, it was restrictive. Now it's an open, free, clear line of communication between us and God because Jesus brought peace between us and him. And I love having God with me every step of the way, every situation I'm in. And I can pray and talk to him, and he can teach me from his word. That peace came straight from Jesus. What I don't want to forget is that even though Jesus established the way for us to receive forgiveness and gain peace with God, it's not something we do once and we don't circle back to. As I've walked in my Christian walk, I have stumbled and I have fallen many times in my faith and I've sinned. That has not separated me from the peace that God has given me. That has not caused me to lose my relationship with God. The avenue that I need to take when I do sin, and if I do fall short, is I need to humble myself, and I need to go to God and ask him for forgiveness. It's been a fun ride. I've learned how to eat a lot of humble pie. It's very humbling to go out in your life and mess up and fall on your face and have to admit to somebody, yeah, I did wrong. I'm sorry. That was my fault. I don't know what it is about that. It feels terrible at the moment, but once you do it, you feel wonderful. You feel great that you were able to do that. I've come accustomed to liking the taste of humble pie. It's okay now. It's a flavor I can get along with. I want you guys to understand that every time you fall and you mess up, God is not standing there angry at you. God is standing there with a hand held out to pick you back up. Just like we do as parents with our kids. That picture to me is wonderful, how my kids stumbled and fell all over the place when they were growing up and they were learning to get around. And I was always there to pick them up and dust them off and get them going again with encouragement behind it. Say, yep, try again, try again, try again. Thousands and thousands of time. God does the same thing with us if we're willing to forgive ourselves and go to God and ask him for forgiveness too. Before we leave peace, we'll read 2 Thessalonians 3:16. I don't know if I put it in here. We'll see. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. God be with you all. Christ himself stated it plainly when he was going to give us peace in John 14:27. He said to his disciples, "Peace I leave you." If it was not something that we were to receive, if only the disciples were supposed to receive this peace, it wouldn't be listed in the fruit of the Spirit that we have in us. But that peace that Jesus left his disciples is the peace that we gain in our lives as well. Through all circumstances, we can have peace because Jesus left it for us. He gave it to us with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:1 also says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Hopefully you guys have the same bug that I have, and you want to see how loud you can turn this fruit up. I'd like to see how loud we can turn it up. How do we increase the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? We talked about that. We supply moral excellence. It's interesting that Bob said that our spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is an ordinary thing, which I totally agree with. And it was kind of mind-blowing that it is ordinary. It's not supernatural, but because it's ordinary, all of us have the skills necessary to work on it. I like that. It's not because somebody has some special talent in this area that they get to have more fruit of the Spirit. We all have the same opportunity because it's common for all of us. I love that he said that. Good. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we do have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If it's possible, so far as it depends on you, let's live at peace with all men. Our peace with God is secure. Our peace with men, that's going to take some work. And I think it's worth it to get them to see that they can have peace as well. Moving on to love. How did Jesus establish the standard for us to follow in his love? First, it was his relationship with God. In Matthew 22, 37, he says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And his care for the sick and suffering in John 21, 25, John says, listen, if we were to write down all the miracles that Jesus did to show his love to everybody, there's not enough ink in the world, there's not enough parchment in the world that could contain it all. It would have been awesome to have seen Jesus do that day in and day out during his ministry. And that world in that day did see that day in and day out. His actions with his disciples in John 13. They could be stubborn at times. They could be short-sighted at times. And he was very patient with them because he loved them. He was driven by love. And then in 1 Corinthians 13, his love for us. In 13, I don't know if you're familiar with it. Most of you are. That's the one we read at weddings. You know, love is patient, love is kind, love never fails. When I read that section of scripture, I know it's great to look at that as a soon-to-be husband or soon-to-be wife and want to emulate those qualities. That was Jesus. When I read 1 Corinthians 13, that's Jesus in the print there, that he is patient, he is kind, he never fails. But what about us? What do we need to do with the Spirit when it comes to love? At the end of Matthew 22, 37 through 39, he qualifies it. He says, listen, I know you're supposed to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor like yourself. That's huge. I'm a very good person that loves myself and takes care of myself. How well do I transfer that love and take care of others around me? There's three different kinds of loves that they talk about in the Greek in the New Testament. You have agape love, you have phileo, and storge. I never heard of storge or storge. I don't know how to pronounce that word. I do know it's agape, not agape, but I like saying agape anyway because it's cooler. Agape. That's the love that Jesus had. That's a love that thinks the best and does the best until total self-sacrifice. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. He thought the best of us, he did the best for us, and he sacrificed himself for us. Phileo love is that brotherly love, that, like the kindred spirits where we are working together in harmony. And then the storge, we're going to say storge. Bob, you'll correct me later. That is a love of parents, a parent's love for a child. I thought that was really cool that that was one of the things that was mentioned in scriptures. It was actually used once to condemn people who didn't have that kind of love in their life. I was like, that's really good. A parent's love for their children is what we need with one another and our own kids. Love your kids, all right? If you learn anything today, love your kids, all right? Matthew 5:44. Here's our challenge. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So that's cool that we love our own family, we love our brothers and sisters, and we love Jesus. You want to really drive this quality home in your life? This is what God's telling us to work on. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Really pray for them. It works wonderful. I had bullies in school growing up that I chose to love and treat the right way, even though they mistreated me. And I chose to pray and think good thoughts for them and give them compliments. And they are some of the best friends I have today on this planet. So it works. It absolutely works. It's absolutely true. Last thing, joy. Jesus, who went to the cross because there was joy waiting for him on the other side, showed us to do showed us how to do the same. Hebrews 12:2, thanks a lot, Chuck, for talking about that this morning at the Lord's Supper time, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. This is the joy. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He accomplished his mission. He fulfilled his task that God gave him. And the reward was eternal life in heaven at the right hand of God. We have a similar reward waiting for us. If we would follow him through thick and thin, there's an eternal reward waiting for us after this temporary life is over. So when we're going through trials and it's tough, let's not lose sight of the joy that Jesus had even through the toughest trial ever known to man. Sometimes joy might look like this to you, an ice cream cone in a cup. Summertime, ice cream cup full of ice cream. That one is probably butter pecan. That brings a lot of joy in life, doesn't it? Maybe not for you. You might call it happiness. Tomato, tomato. Agree to disagree. I know it's happiness. Ice cream in a cup is happiness in the summer. For so many kids, including me, joy. The real joy is knowing that God loves us and God is watching over us and God is helping us through everything that we ever go through. That example was made clear in Acts 16:22 through 25 with Paul and Silas. They kicked a demon out of a girl and the town got mad. They rose up together against Paul and Silas, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off of them, proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. I've never been beaten with rods. I'm assuming it would be very painful. Pretty sure it is. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. Now, in that day and age, if you were a jailer and somebody was given you to keep in jail, if they escaped, you died. Got it? When he received the command, he threw them in the inner prison and he fastened their feet in the stocks. They're not leaving. He's going to make sure of that. About midnight, after having been beaten and put in prison, Paul and Silas are doing what? They're not whining and complaining about their aches and pains, maybe broken bones, bruising, severe pain. What are they doing? They're praying and they're singing hymns of praise to God. What's really cool is I know they weren't doing it too quietly because the prisoners around them were also listening. That is joy, ladies and gentlemen. That is the joy that we get in the Holy Spirit when we rely and trust in God to get us through every situation in our life. As bad as it can be in our lives, this is what we can do in the midst of it. We can pray to a God that hears us and a God that loves us, and we can sing hymns and praise him for that. So that's it. Do we have that similar joy? What evidence for or against our characters can we see? Are we being led by the Spirit? Do we see that love and joy and peace that Jesus showed us in our own lives? And are we moving those slides up on that soundboard? Christ's love for us made a path for us to find and enjoy peace. And we can show that peace to the world around us. There is joy in the Christian's life. The love of Jesus also gave us a path to forgiveness and hope through his sacrifice on the cross. He provided the free gift of salvation. So there's our 3 points. Love from our example. Joy, yes, yes indeed, and peace. Today, all of our yesterdays, even when Satan throws up our old sins in front of our face and tries to shame us, those are gone. Those have been forgiven. Tomorrow, we can have peace, and every tomorrow after that. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and I made it kind of appealing to you this morning, and you want to jump in on that, we can take care of that right now for you this morning. We have the baptistry full of water, and we can baptize you and get you started on a walk that's going to give you love, joy, and peace in your life. So as our song leader comes up here and leads songs, if you have that decision to make, I'll let you talk to Chuck. He's down on the floor. Hey, don't forget, Mother's Day next week. All right. Thank you, guys. Let's sing our closing song. Would you stand with me?
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we have a traditional service at 8:45 and a contemporary service at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Check our Facebook page for evening adult and youth service times throughout the week.